Well, friends, today we have a dramatic reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning with chapter 24 at verse 14. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It is an extra long, long reading. I recommend you be seated, but stand if you want to. The chief priests and the elders met together in the place of Caiaphas, the high priest, and made plans to arrest Jesus secretly and put him to death. They said, "We must not do this during the festival, or all people will riot." Then one of the 12 disciples, the one named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, They counted out 30 silver coins and gave them to him. I'm just going to do that now. Give me a moment. Judas, come get your 30 coins. Yep. From then on, Judas was looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon, a man who had suffered from leprosy. While Jesus was eating, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume, which she poured over his head. The disciples saw this and became angry.
Why all this waste? This perfume could have been sold for a large amount and the money given to the poor.
Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to them,
"Why are you bothering this woman? It is a fine and beautiful thing that she has done for me. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me. What she did was to pour perfume, this perfume, on my body to get me ready for burial. Now I assure you that whatever this gospel is preached all over the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him,
"Where do you want us to get the Passover meal ready for you?"
He said to them,
"Go to a certain man in the city and tell him, 'The teacher says, my hour has come. My disciples and I will celebrate the Passover at your house.'"
The disciples did as Jesus had told them and prepared this Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus and the 12 disciples sat down to eat. During the meal, Jesus said,
"I tell you, one of you will betray me."
The disciples were very upset and began to ask him, one after the other, "Surely, Lord, you don't mean me."
"One who dips his bread in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man will die, as the scriptures say he will. But how terrible for the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born."
Judas, the traitor, spoke up.
"Surely, teacher, you don't mean me."
"So you say."
While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples. He said,
"Take and eat it. This is my body."
Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now or until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to his disciples,
"This very night all of you will run away and leave me, for the scriptures say, Zechariah said, 'God will kill the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' And then Jesus said, 'But after I am raised to life, I will go to Galilee ahead of you.'"
Peter spoke up and said to Jesus,
"I will never leave you, even though all the rest do."
"I tell you that before the cock crows tonight, you will say three times that you do not know me."
"I will never say that, even if I have to die with you."
And all the other disciples said the same thing. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Grief and anguish came over him.
"The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me."
He went a little farther on, threw himself face downward to the ground, and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me, yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he returned to his three disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"How is it that you three were not able to keep watch with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Once more, Jesus went away and prayed,
"My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away unless I drink it, you will be done."
He returned once more, again found the disciples sleeping. They couldn't keep their eyes open. Again, Jesus left them, went away and prayed, a third time saying the same words. Then he returned to his disciples and said,
"Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinful men. Get up, let's go. Look, here is the man who is betraying me."
Jesus was still speaking when Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs and sent by the chief priests and elders. The traitor had given the crowd a signal.
"The man I kiss is the one you want. Arrest him."
Judas went straight to Jesus and said,
"Peace be with you, teacher."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered,
"Be quick about it, friend."
Then they came up, arrested Jesus and held him tight. One of those who were with Jesus drew his sword and struck at the high priest's slave, cutting off his ear. Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back in place. All who take the sword will die by the sword. Don't you know that I call on my Father to help, and at once he would send more than 12 armies of angels? But in this case, how could the scriptures come true when say that this is what must happen?"
Then Jesus spoke to the crowd.
Did you have to come with swords and clubs to capture me, as though I was an outlaw? Every day I sat down and taught in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But all this has happened in order to make what the prophets wrote in the scriptures come true.
Then all the disciples left him and ran away. Those who arrested Jesus took him to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had gathered together. Peter followed from a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest's house. He went into the courtyard and sat down with the guards to see how it would all turn out. The chief priests and the whole council tried to find some false evidence against Jesus to put him to death, but they could not find any. Even though many came forward and told lies about him, finally, two men stepped up and said,
"This man said, 'I'm able to tear down God's temple and 3 days later build it up again.'"
The high priest stood up and said to Jesus,
"Have you no answer to give this accusation against you?"
But Jesus kept quiet. Again, the high priest spoke to him.
"In the name of the living God, I now put you on oath. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus answered him,
"So you say, but I tell all of you, from this time on, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Almighty and coming on the clouds of heaven."
At this, the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"Alas for me, we don't need any more witnesses. You have just heard his blasphemy. What do you think?"
He's guilty.
"He must die."
Then they spat in his face and beat him. And those who slapped him said,
Prophesy for us, Messiah. Guess who hit you?"
Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard when one of the high priest's servant girls came to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus of Galilee."
But he denied it in front of them all.
"I don't know what you're talking about."
He went out to the entrance of the courtyard. Another servant girl saw him and said to the men there,
"He was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, Peter denied it.
"I swear I don't know that man."
After a while, the men standing there came to Peter.
"Of course you are one of them. After all, the way you speak gives you away."
Then Peter said,
"I swear I'm telling the truth. May God punish me if I am not. I do not know that man."
Just then, a cock crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus had told him.
"Before the cock crows, you will say three times that you do not know me."
He went out and wept bitterly. Early the next morning, all the chief priests and elders made their plans against Jesus to put him to death. They put him in chains and led him off and handed him over to Pilate, the Roman governor. Jesus stood before the Roman governor, who questioned him.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"So you say."
But Jesus said nothing in response to the accusations of the chief priests and elders.
"Don't you hear all these things they accuse you of?"
But Jesus refused to answer a single word, with the result that the governor was greatly surprised. When Judas the traitor learned that Jesus had been condemned, he repented, and he took back the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders.
"I have sinned by betraying an innocent man to death."
"What do we care about that?" they answered. "That's your business." Judas threw the coins down in the temple and left. Then he went off and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said,
"This is blood money. It is against our law to put it in the temple treasury."
After reaching an agreement about it, they used the money to buy the potter's field as a cemetery for foreigners. That is why that field is called Field of Blood to this very day. Then what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. They took 30 silver coins, the amount of the people of Israel had agreed to pay for him, and used the money to buy the potter's field as the Lord had commanded me. At every Passover, the Roman governor was in the habit of setting free one prisoner that the crowd asked for. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Judas Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them,
"Which one do you want me to set free for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, called the Messiah?"
He knew very well that the Jewish authorities had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. While Pilate was sitting in the judgment hall, his wife sent him a message.
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, because in a dream last night, I suffered much on account of him."
The chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask Pilate to set Barabbas free and have Jesus put to death. But Pilate asked the crowd,
"Which one of these two do you want me to free for you?"
"Barabbas, Barabbas."
"Barabbas, Barabbas." And Pilate said, "What then shall I do with Jesus called the Messiah?" "Crucify him, crucify him,
crucify him." But Pilate asked,
"What crime has he committed?"
Then they started shouting at the top of their voices, Crucify him, crucify him. When Pilate saw that it was no use to go on, but that a riot might break out, he took some water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
"I am not responsible for the death of this man. This is your doom."
The whole crowd answered,
"Let the responsibility for his death fall on us
and our children." Then Pilate set Barabbas free for them, and after he had Jesus whipped and handed him over to be crucified. Pilate's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace, and the whole company gathered around him. They stripped off his clothes and put a scarlet robe on him. Then they made a crown out of thorny branches and placed it on his head, and put a stick in his hand. Then they knelt before him and mocked him.
Long live the King of the Jews.
They spat on him. They took the stick and hit him over the head. When they had finished mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes back on. Then they led him out to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine mixed with bitter substance, but after tasting it, he would not drink it. They crucified him and then divided his clothes among them, throwing a dice. After that, they sat there and watched him. Above his head, they put a written notice of the accusations against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then they crucified two bandits with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults at Jesus.
You were going to tear down the temple and build it up again in 3 days. Save yourself if you are God's son. Come on down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and elders jeered at him.
He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Isn't he the King of Israel? If he comes down off the cross now, we will believe in him. He trusts in God and claims to be God's son. Well then, let us see if God wants to save him now.
Even the bandits who had been crucified with him insulted him in the same way. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, what did you abandon me?"
Some of the people standing there heard him and said,
"He's calling for Elijah."
One of them ran up at once, took a sponge, soaked it in some cheap wine, and put it on the end of a stick and tried to make him drink it. But the others said,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah is coming to save him."
Jesus again gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, the graves broke open, and many of God's people who had died were raised to life. They left their graves, and after Jesus rose from the dead, they went to the holy city where many people saw them. When the army officer and soldiers with him were watching, they saw the earthquake and everything else that happened. They were terrified.
And they said, "He really was the Son of God."
There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee and helped him. Among them there was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the wife of Zebedee. When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea arrived. His name was Joseph, and he was also a disciple of Jesus. He went into the presence of Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate gave orders for the body to be given to Joseph, so Joseph took it, wrapped it in new linen sheets, and placed it in his own tomb, which he had just recently dug out of solid rock. Then he rolled a large stone across the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there, facing the tomb. The next day, which was the Sabbath, the chief priests and the Pharisees met with Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that when that liar was still alive, he said, 'I will be raised to life 3 days later.' Give orders then for his tomb to be carefully guarded until the third day, so that his disciples will not be able to go and steal the body and then tell the people that he was raised from death. That last lie would even be worse than the first one."
Pilate told them,
"Take a guard, go and make the tomb as secure as you can."
So they left and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and leaving guards to watch. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Stuart. Thank you, Libby. Passion Sunday, I think this is the first time I've ever read the whole Passion narrative in church. I usually stick with the happy Palm Sunday celebration. It's a lot easier and happier and lighter. But just in reading through the whole story of what happened in that last week of Jesus' life, I think is so worth reading in one sitting. So thank you for sitting and listening. It's amazing how those same people who waved palm branches as he entered Jerusalem, hailing him as king, their king, the king they wanted, could turn their hearts and minds around to, at the end of the week, be saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Because they realized he wasn't going to keep giving them what they want. They wanted the healings. They wanted the blind to see, the lame to walk. They wanted to be wealthier. They wanted to stop being beggars. They wanted to be fed bread and fish. But Jesus knew their hearts all along. He knew what was inside of a man, and yet he loved and died for them anyway. Even the Pharisees, whom he also died for. The leaders of the religion of their day, who are meant to draw people closer to God, and yet killed his very son because they were jealous. Jealous. And because they liked the status quo, they liked things the way they were. We got it pretty cruisy under the Roman government at the time. Let's not disrupt things. We don't make things harder for ourselves. Let's just keep cruising along, keep it comfortable. Jesus was radical. He never kept it comfortable. He was willing to get not just out of everyone else's comfort zone, get others out of their comfort zone, but get out of his own. He cried in anguish in that garden, "God, take this cup away from me. But if there is no other way, I'll do what you ask." Of course he was tempted to not go through with it. But he was submissive to the Father, even unto death. His love is amazing because he did that for us. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son to die on a cross for them and for us, even knowing what is in us today. He knew not what was in them. He knows what is in us. He knows our greed. He knows that sometimes we just follow him because we want something from him. We don't worship him with our whole heart, soul, mind and strength. I was challenged on this week. I just before the Lord, I go, "Lord, I just love you with all my heart and soul and strength, but you haven't had my mind this week." and I'm sorry. And he brings us to our knees because he does want us to worship him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and after all he has done for us, it's the very least we can give back. He'll never ask us in this country, I don't think, to die for him. I think in our own way, we all kind of deny him in a way. We play him down to those who might ridicule us or criticize us for our faith. How many of us can put ourselves in Peter's shoes? But thank God he gives us time to repent. He's patient with Peter. He's patient with all of them. He died so that they can have forgiveness, and so can we. And so today, my friends, whatever part of your life is not truly in line with God's will and his story and how it's meant to play out in your life, if you're keeping anything from him, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your life, your car, your kids, your dog, whatever it is, I just encourage us all to surrender ourselves afresh to Christ this week. And it's okay to feel the pain that he would have felt on that day this week. Thursday night, we're going to just sit with the Lord's Supper. It won't be a reenactment. I won't be trying to make it like it was. We're just going to sit in that space and feel what Christ might have felt and lean into what he wants us to learn through that. And Good Friday too, come prepared to reflect. I won't be preaching at you. It'll be your journey with the Lord. Because that's all he ever wants from us, to journey with him through this week up to Easter, but for all our lives. It's a journey. And we will come back next Sunday and we will celebrate, because this is not the end of the story. It's just beginning. So there is a hope, there is a brighter future. But for this week, my friends, sit with the Lord, take the journey, and let him do his mighty work in you. Because he didn't stay dead, he did rise again, and now he is the king that we all need. He is on the throne in heaven. He wasn't the king the Jews wanted. He wasn't this earthly king, but he's our king, the king of the universe, the rightful ruler over all things. And in his rightful place, we deserve to bring everything under his feet. He deserves to have us bring everything under his feet and worship him. And we can worship him as king, triumphal king, that they wave branches over, but even greater than that, king over all, for all eternity. Amen? There's no better news than that. I really can't say much more. But I think we'll continue in prayer. Thank you.